Blog Talk Radio.
Come on in. Door's open. Squeaky as it may be. Welcome to Eerie House Radio. The blacker, the better. In fact, it's so dark I can't see any of you. But I'm Dale Kay here from Spook Show, and I'm with...
Bump on the Head Dave from the weirdest really bad movie.
Bump on the Head.
You know what? Dale's using this as an excuse. He just didn't pay the light bill, is what he didn't do.
Yes. Normally, it's the lights are on and nobody's home, but we're both home. The lights are out.
Oh, jeez.
But that's
story
okay.
Of my life. Yes.
Yes. But that is okay because we have some fine, fine radio to get you through the dark, dark night, including CBS Radio Mystery Theater's The Black Room.
Absolutely. A wonderful tale. In some ways, almost a horror tale, even though it isn't a gothic horror or anything like that. It's written by Elspeth Eric, and lead is the amazing actor, Mr. Larry Haynes. Radio, television, you might recognize his voice. You might recognize him from a soap opera. We'll get into Larry when we get into one of the breaks. But yeah, a really interesting tale. And when you hear this, just think of yourself in Larry's situation.
Dave, I have to admit to cheating this week. Now, I did not listen. I did not listen, but I read a brief show description, and I tried looking for good pictures of the actors in this show for the slideshow. But no such luck. But I did read the brief show description, and I think what you would call tonight's show is more of a psychological horror.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a step worse than being, what do they call it? Slipping my mind. When you're incarcerated, but you're put off by yourself and you have no contact with anybody. Solitary.
Confinement.
This is a step worse than solitary confinement.
How did you not know that word? This is where you try to put me every week. I weasel my way out and get to the front door, squeaky as it may be, and open it and fight people in. But anyway. Yeah, solitary is a punishment in and of itself, and I think we're going to take that concept to new heights on tonight's show.
And this particular story that's here, it is, of course, in the first year of the Radio Mystery Theater. There was a book that came out that had three tales in it. This story was one of the three, the Black Room. We've already played the first one that was in here, the Time and Again about the vampire clock, Dale, that we did during one of our time travel weekends.
That was a chilling tale.
You know, and this one is included in that book of three tales. So Hyman Brown found this to be an exceptional story that was in their first. And it was kind of a promotional thing. I ran across this in either a bookstore or a used bookstore, but it was used as a promotional tool to get people to write in to the Mystery Theater. And some of the early ones, Hyman Brown had put a 30-second spot in there asking people to respond to how they like the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. And the response was just so absolutely overwhelming that they of course they couldn't give out as many books as he wanted, but he gave out all the books that he had, and he said he was going to be as diligent as possible to answer every letter that was written.
That's pretty cool. And what a successful run CBS Radio Mystery Theater had. Even by the standards of the old time radio classics that we're used to, it had a pretty long run.
Yeah, as far as Hyman Brown was concerned, by doing this seven nights a week, he felt that he was actually giving more drama a week than many of your network stations were, because there was so much of the comedy. He didn't consider the detectives or the westerns dramas. He considered, things like the Lux Radio Theater and the Studio One and NBC Theater and programs like that. So he felt that in a week, he produced more actual drama programs, and especially since they were essentially a 55-minute broadcast time as they were broadcast, that he felt that he did more to actually present drama than they did back in the golden age of radio.
And these shows, to me, Dave, when I listen to them from CBS Radio Mystery Theater, are almost cinematic in scope, if you know what I mean. Naturally, it's radio, but it's they're that good. They're that well done.
Yeah, they're as good as any of the, you think of the Lux Radio Theater with the great stars that they had on there trying to recreate their movie roles. Every bit as good, in some cases, if not better, than what, because these were literally written for radio, not adapted for radio. I mean, there were stories that were adapted from classic stories, but they were still literally written for radio. So one of the biggest criticisms of it and even some other programs that we're trying to do. I know Chicago had a dramatic program they were trying to do at the time, and I never really got to hear any of them, but they were on an interview program, I think on NPR, and they they actually got Forrest Tucker to come in and do one, and it was just absolutely amazing what they did. But they didn't get the widespread distribution that Hyman Brown was able to do by coercing somehow CBS into it. But the biggest thing that people had against it, or people from radio, such as that they felt the stories were old fashioned, the writing was old fashioned, the whole genre was not really up to date and how it could be. And Hyman Brown's argument was, this was never intended for young audience. This was intended for people who loved old radio in the golden age of radio, and it was kind of rewarding them for what they did. He had no idea he would ever, ever, ever bring in the people like Gar and me who listened to it live as it was happening, or through tapes, or however we got a hold of them. It was never his intention, but boy, was he shocked, and he was extremely happy. He was able to bring radio drama to a whole other generation of people that never might have heard it otherwise.
Well, the thing there, too, is, Dave, there's always, and I think I can speak safely for everyone that can hear my voice right now, that I see in the chat, and yourself and myself included, Dave, is we have an appreciation for things that came before us. And you reckon,
yes.
And although the 70s, were modern day for you at the time, you were still looking at it as a very nice homage to old time radio. So you like that as well.
Yeah.
Am I not right?
You are. The stories I enjoyed the least were the ones where they did many times try to, not the science fiction, but the ones where they tried to modernize in the husband and wife ordeal, where there was one trying to kill the wife or whatever. And it was more, maybe in a sense, a little bit more contemporary type of a story. But when you went back to the gothic, the horror that they did, the psychological that they did, the science fiction they did, I had no problem with that representing the being a new twist and a new taste of old radio program, which is what it's considered now. It's considered old-time radio.
Well, it's only 40-some years ago.
Yeah.
And do we have an exact date for our offering tonight of the Black Room?
We do. I have a couple of things I want to say as I give this date. One, of course, I've said in the past that this was probably, as far as I can remember, like the first episode I may have recorded on cassette from the radio. We had one of those radio cassette decks. And so we recorded straight from the recording. Secondly, another reason that this one is so near and dear to my heart, not only is it such a good story and done so well, it actually happened to be broadcast on my 14th birthday, October 29th, 1974.
Field reporting.
Good to have you with us. Settle down and be comfortable. Lend us not only your ears, but your deepest concentration while we tell you a strange and macabre story. Where do you live? Peoria? Salt Lake City? Buffalo? Memphis? Where? Springfield? Manchester? Spokane? Hackensack? No. No, you don't live in any of those places, or in any other place that has a name. You live, each one of you, night and day, year after year, in the nameless, hidden places of your own mind.
Mr. Z, whoever dreamed up the Black Room anyway?
I have no idea.
Somebody must have.
There's always been a Black Room, Mr. K, far as I know.
Hell of a place.
Yes.
How long do you think he'll last?
Matter of days. Weeks, possibly.
Then what?
He'll go mad or die.
Our mystery drama, The Black Room, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elspeth Eric and stars Larry Haynes. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
There is a fresh new spirit sweeping the land. A free spirit that demands good products. Products that satisfy your sense of good taste and desire for economy. But above all, products that perform. Buick has been touched by this spirit. And this year, our crisply designed, solidly built Buicks will bring joy even to the most demanding of free spirits. The 1975 Buicks, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Somewhere, in some unspecified place, are three men. Three men of no particular distinction and no particular importance except to themselves. Yet the urgency of their speech and the intensity of their attitudes would make you think that something of the gravest consequence is taking place. And for all that I know, it is. Listen now to the story of The Black Room.
Why me? Why me? Of all people, I'm a very ordinary guy. I have a wife, I have a home, I have a job, I drink a little, I go bowling, I have some money, I'm just like everybody else, so why me?
We didn't take you because we thought you unusual.
Well, then, for God's sake, why?
We need information.
I haven't got any information.
We think you have.
Information about what? Look, if I have it, I'll give it to you. I'll tell you anything you want to know.
You mean that?
What do you want to know?
Why did you do it?
Do what?
You know.
I don't know. Do what?
He's not going to tell us.
What am I supposed to know? How could a man like me know anything?
Look me in the eye. Step up here. Closer. Look me straight in the eye. Now, why did you do it?
I didn't do anything.
Come on now.
He'll never tell you.
What am I supposed to have done?
He's hopeless.
You guys, I never saw you before in my life. Who the hell are you, anyway?
I'm the man in charge here.
And who's he?
My deputy.
Well, who gave you the right to bust into my house, drag me down here, and start asking me questions? Well, who gave you the right to do that?
It's not a question of right.
Well, it damn well should be.
But it isn't.
Can I make a phone call? I can make a phone call, can I?
I'm afraid not.
Well, everybody's allowed to make a phone call. That's what I always heard. I want to call my wife, my lawyer, somebody.
Out of the question. We have no phone.
You... I never heard of a place that had no phone.
Now you have.
But you just can't keep me here. It's not right.
What's your idea of what's right? We'd really like to know.
Well, I can't tell you offhand like that. I don't know exactly.
Quite so. Neither do we. Mr. Kay, I think it's time for the Black Room.
Right. Come with me, please.
Come with you where? No, I'm not going anywhere with you.
Come on, come on.
I don't have to go.
Yes, you do. Come on.
Do I have to?
Yes, you do.
Right this way.
I don't understand any of this. What is this place you're taking me to? What did he call it?
The Black Room.
Why do you call it that?
Because it's black.
What? Painted black? Black walls? Black furnishings? What?
Well, there aren't any furnishings. It's just a room. And it's black.
You're putting me in solitary.
You'll be alone. There we are. Step in, please.
Well, I can't see a thing. Nothing. It's black.
That's why it's called the Black Room.
Well, switch on a light.
There is no light. Once I close this door, there'll be no light of any kind.
You can't do this. Get out of my way.
Now, just...
Help! Somebody, help!
Don't make such a fuss. Cut it out. I'm going to close this door.
Are you there? Are we both in here? Well, say something. Are you here?
You haven't any matches on you by any chance? Or a lighter?
No.
Once I go out that door, you'll be in total darkness and total silence. No light, no noise, no sound of any kind. Only what you make yourself.
I don't see why.
You'll be fed once a day, never at the same time.
How will I know when?
It'll be either before you get hungry or after you stop being hungry.
You'll bring it to me?
You'll find it somewhere on the floor.
Well, how will I find it if I can't see it?
You'll feel around till you come to it. There'll be bread and water, and once in a while, if I'm in the mood, some cheese or a piece of fruit. Okay. Got it?
Will you tell the warden something for me?
The who? The warden?
Well, whoever he is. The keeper.
Keeper?
Well, you know who I mean. The man in charge.
That's Mr. Z. The end of the line. Tell him what?
Tell him that I...
That you what?
I've forgotten.
Well, it's a good beginning. Keep it up.
Oh, wait a second.
What now?
Let me look at the light.
Look at it. Okay. That's all.
Only thing to fear. Fear itself. Yes. Why am I whispering? I should be shouting. What's that? I hear something. I hear. What is that? It's my heart. It's my heart beating. I'm hearing my own heart. The only thing I can hear is my own heart. My shh, 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 shh. Quiet, quiet. Quiet down. Quiet, quiet. That's better. Yes. That's better. Much better. Better.
Yes. How did it go?
Very routine.
Good.
He fussed a little.
Oh?
I found it necessary to step inside with him for a few seconds.
No trouble, though.
He went numb pretty fast.
I thought he would.
He wanted me to give you a message, but then he couldn't remember what it was. And he thinks you're some kind of a warden.
A warden?
Or a keeper.
Poor man.
You know, Mr. Z, I didn't much like it inside that room.
You knew you were coming out.
Who ever dreamed up the Black Room, anyway?
I've no idea.
Somebody must have.
There's always been a Black Room, far as I know.
Hell of a place.
Yes.
How long will he last, do you think?
Matter of days. weeks, possibly.
Then what?
He'll go mad or die.
Wonder what he's doing now.
Oh, counting by twos, then by threes, then by fours. Anything to keep from thinking. That's what they all do.
Remember things. Beautiful things. Remember the ocean, the sand, the sounds of the sea, the waves, winds, running on the beach. Oh, God, I'm crying. These are my tears. Now, come on, now, let's not have any of that, none of that. Now, just remember other things. The house, no. Not the house. I'm not ready to think about the house. School. Yes, school. Matthew Arnold, English poet, 1822 to 1888. Yeah, something like that anyway. Is it so small a thing to have enjoyed the sun, to have lived light in the spring, to have lived, to have thought, to have done? I don't know the rest. Sleep. I want to sleep. No, I'm afraid to sleep. Will I ever sleep? What? What's that? I heard something. Yes, I hear something. Shh, shh, shh. Quiet, quiet. Shh, shh, shh.
It's a rat. They've let a rat in here. I'm shut up with a rat. Where is that? Where is that rat? I'll kill it. I'll kill it with my bare hands. Where is it? Where is that? Where? Can't hear it anymore. Where is that? Rat, where is it? Hiding. What'll it do? No, that's enough of that. Just lie down on the floor. Stretch out. Just let go. What'll happen will happen. Just let it happen. That's the best way. Don't fight. Don't struggle. Just lie quiet. Empty your mind. Yes. It doesn't matter if my eyes are open or closed. Isn't that funny? They're not really funny. When I go to sleep, will my eyes close or will they stay open? Yes, I can feel my eyelids raise themselves up. Now I feel them come down. But everything's the same. Black, just... It ran over my hand. The rat ran across my hand. Where is it now? I don't hear it. Did I imagine that? Did I ever hear it? Did I really feel it? There. I hear it. I hear it again. Now, why would they do that? Why would they put me in a black room with a rat? They must be devils. Where is that rat now? Shh, shh, shh. Will it make a noise? Shh. Again. Ran across my hand again. Now, wait. Just hold on now. Hold on. It's not so bad. The rat didn't bite you, did he?
No, he simply ran across the back of your hand. That's all. You're not hurt. You're perfectly all right. Perfect. Oh, you don't sound like such a big rat.
How you sound... Like kind of a very small rat.
Now, you could be a mouse. Sure, a very small little mouse. Why not? Now, if I should just lie here quietly with my arms spread out like this, would you run across my hand again, would you? Huh? Hey, you see, I'm calmer now. I'm much more relaxed. I'm waiting. Ah, there you are. Oh, and my fingers. Oh, such light little feet, so delicate. Oh, I think you must be no
is my mouse chum. My pal, Mr. Mouse. How's everything with you? Okay? Good. Me? Oh, I'm managing. So far, so good. Yeah. You know, I think I can hold out for a while, anyway. At least I'm not alone. Not altogether alone. Not quite.
The great horror is the fear of being alone. Man will do anything, suffer anything to avoid it, and to postpone that crucial moment when, no matter what he does or what he suffers, he must face his own essential aloneness, the very last moment of his life. We'll be back shortly with Act Two.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau now.
I'm Inspector Pry, Miss...
Violet, Inspector. Miss Violet.
According to the report, you say someone is hiding in your house.
Oh, I'm sure of it, Inspector. I've found things. Sweaters, blouses like mine, but they're not mine. They're much too small for me and all faded and torn.
I'll help you, Miss Violet.
Who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Those are your clothes, Violet, and you aren't taking very good care of them. Before you buy your clothes, understand what's on the label. For example, if you buy a garment which is labeled pre-shrunk, make sure you understand the cleaning instructions on the label before you wash.
And I thought, from now on I'll read the labels before I buy.
No more shrinking, Violet.
Just another helpful tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Oh, my. Psychological horror indeed.
Absolutely. And wonderful story. Mr. Larry Haynes starred in this. Born August 3rd, 1918 in Mount Vernon, New York. He had been active in drama in high school, and while he was in college, they advised him to try acting. After a few months of instruction in dramatics, he actually passed an audition with CBS Radio. He dropped out during his sophomore year of college, went right into radio working on little stations around New York, beginning with WWRL. Now, Haynes first became known in the 1930s as the actor on the radio series Gangbusters. He played playing Joe Lincoln. He was also star of Treasury Agent on Mutual Broadcasting System in 47-48. And he had the title role of Mike Hammer in That Hammer Guy on the Mutual Network, 1953-54. He was also featured in The Chase, Cloak and Dagger, Inner Sanctum Mystery, The Man Behind the Gun, This is Nora Drake. Was estimated, get this, Dale, he acted in more than 15,000 radio programs in the 1940s and 50s. Four decades later, he would return to radio, starring in 82 episodes of the CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
This being one of the better ones, I'm sure. From your 14th birthday, then.
14th, yes. I was a mere lad of 14 when this one is aired. It was my birthday. Maybe I got the cassette for my birthday, so I was able to record this show or something. But, it was from my 14th birthday. And I do remember the original airing of this. Because there's not many. Because we only had so many cassettes, so we can only record so many. But this is one of the very first that I can remember doing. Larry went on to television. He created a stir there as well, best known for his role as next door neighbor Stu Bergman on the soap opera Search for Tomorrow. And he joined the show on its 11th episode in 1951, Dale. And he remained on the serial for the entire run of the show until it ended in 1986. He won a couple of daytime Emmys in 1976 and 81. And he was First Lady Pat Nixon's favorite soap opera star. There we go.
I'll be darned. Good old Pat. Jeez. Those were the days. Those were the days of 1970s. The wonder years for us, really. Dave and I are nearly the same age. We were born in the same year. I just need a lot earlier in it.
Dale's a lot older than I am,
By cracky? Watch it, whippersnapper. Bop you with my rusty cane or something, I don't know. It was a magical time, and I'm really surprised that I had not discovered this in it. But at the same time, it's equally as exciting to discover these now. Let's listen to part two of one of Dave's fond memory shows from CBS Radio Mystery Theater, The Chilling Tale of the Black Room.
The simple man we have chosen to be our hero is confined in the black room, a bare place without light or sound. But by chance or fate or the mercy of God, he has found a companion, a mouse no bigger than his thumb. This tiny creature has become his sole defense against the terrors of being alone.
Sit here on my hand. And let me stroke your head, Mr. Mouse. There. You like that? Tell me you do. Somehow let me know that you do. You don't know how much it would mean to me to know that I was giving pleasure to someone. That's one of the chief horrors of being cut off from everything and everyone. There's no one to serve, to help, to amuse. Yes, that sounds strange, I suppose, but I never knew till now how important it is to bring pleasure and comfort and amusement into other lives. Will I ever laugh again? That's too much to expect. Yes, I know that. I don't mind crying anymore. I cry a lot. I don't care. When I weep at the hopelessness of it all, I feel somehow it's not quite so hopeless. Now, why is that? Do you know, Mr. Mouse? Mice don't cry? Is that what you're saying? Mice take life as it comes. Yes, but men can't do that. Men rebel and struggle and suffer. Oh, yes. Yes, how they suffer. Oh, are you agreeing with me? Or are you telling me you're hungry? You know what I have for you this time? Some cheese. Yes. They left me a piece of cheese this time. I ate most of it, but there are some crumbs. And they're in the breast pocket of my shirt. Now, if you just get into my pocket, way down at the bottom. You're easy, easy now. Don't be frightened. Now, you know I wouldn't do anything to hurt you, my little friend. There. Head first. Down you go. Ah, yes, you found them. You found the crumbs of cheese. You're eating, and I'm almost laughing. Not quite, but almost. I'm almost laughing because you're so pleased.
I gave him a piece of cheese this time.
What for?
Oh, I don't know. Just to give him a little hope, I guess.
Well, if you want to drag it out.
Bread and water get so monotonous.
I imagine the last thing in the world that concerns him is monotony.
Well, it gets monotonous for me, too.
You say he's eating well.
So far, every crumb.
That won't last.
I suppose not.
Not if he's like the others, it won't. A few more days, then.
Now stay out of my way, Mr. Mouse. Don't get hurt. I'm just looking for our food. Well, maybe he hasn't left it yet. You know, there hasn't been any cheese for a long time. Now, I can't count the days anymore, but it's been a long time. Oh, I found it. What is this? What? It's an apple. Imagine an apple. Say, I wonder, is it red or green or yellow? Perhaps I could tell by the taste. Macintosh. Or have I forgotten the taste of apples? I used to know it so well. You want some, do you? Now, where might I bite off a piece for you? Wait, you know where it is. Come on, come on, come on now, you know. The pocket. It's in the pocket. That's it. Now, I can feel you move against my chest. I think I have never felt anything so comforting. Now, how did I get here? How did I come to be living in a soundless, lightless room with a friendly mouse? It's almost laughable, but I've forgotten how to laugh. But think about it. How did I arrive at this place, these circumstances? For that matter, how did I arrive at any of the places, any of the circumstances of my life? I planned, yes. Yes, I made plans. But they never seemed to work out precisely as I planned them. The marriage. It looked all right, but it wasn't quite what I meant. The job. Yes, the job seemed to be a good job, but it wasn't quite what I'd expected. The house. It was a good house. A nice house. But not quite. Oh. Are you coming out of my pocket now, Mr. Mouse? You had enough? Huh? Hey, what are you doing? Are you trying to get inside my shirt? What for? What do you want? Oh, I know. To be close to me is that... Ow! Hey, what was that? What did you do? You know, I felt something... There it is again. Hey, I think you're pulling out the hairs on my chest. Is that what you're doing, Mr. Mouse? Ah, yes, you are. Now, why? Why would you do that? Not to hurt me. I know you would never hurt me. Are you playing? Are you making up a game trying to divert me from the awfulness? Yes, you're telling me it could be worse. There are things we can do. There is always something. It is never absolutely hopeless. Oh, little mouse. You're trying to make me laugh.
I gave him an apple today. If you want to play the game that way, I can't stop you.
He ate every bit of it. There wasn't a thing left on the plate. No core, nothing.
I wonder how he manages to keep up his appetite.
Maybe he exercises.
After this long, they lose interest.
Yes. After all, what's the point?
Hope can't last forever. It's got to die, sooner or later.
Well, with this one, it looks as if it's going to be later.
Yes, but eventually.
What makes him hang on?
I wish I knew. I'd give anything to know.
It's darn near 2 weeks.
2 weeks tomorrow.
Should I go in after him?
No. Wait a while longer. He can't last.
You're sure about that?
No one ever has.
It's only breadcrumbs today. Sorry, Mr. Mars. Hey, where are you? Mars? Mars, I have breadcrumbs for you in my pocket. Now, where are you? Are you here? Why don't you come when I call you? Now, there's no place to go in this blackness. I can't look for you. I might hurt you. Now, why don't you come when I call you? I have food for... Oh, what a fool I am. You've gone out of the black room. You've escaped. But where? How? There must be a place. Yes, you haven't always lived in this room. You came in at some point, and now you've gone out. But where? How? There must be a place, a little place, a tiny... hole. Yes, a tiny hole big enough for a mouse to get through. Now, where? Where? You don't live here all the time. The black room isn't your only home. I mean, not your permanent home. You wouldn't pick a place like this. No mouse would do that. Nobody would do that. No, you came here from somewhere.
somewhere else. You must have. There must be a hole someplace. And you came through that hole, and you've gone out through that hole, and I'm going to find it. What's this? Is this it? Oh, that's so tiny. That's so tiny. Is that a hole? A hole just big enough for a mouse to slip through? Yes, 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 I think it is. Then on the other side, there must be something. The blasted hole is right next to the floor. It's no bigger than my thumb. Or I can't get my face up to it. Yes, 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 I can. I see a light. I see light. A very little light. Oh, thank you. Thank whatever, whoever you are for this little bit of light. What's happening? What's happened to the light? There's still a little, but there's something gray, something milky gray. What? It's my mouse. He's on the other side of the hole. I'm looking into the small gray eye of my friend. Oh, Lord, it's too much. Who could think of such a thing? Who could think that I would be straining at a mouse hole, bent almost double, to look into the eyes of my friend, the mouse? It's too much. It's too much. I can't comprehend. What is there to do? What is there to do but laugh?
He's off his feet. Hardly ate anything the last few days.
So, it's starting.
What's starting?
The decline. I knew it would, sooner or later.
Think I'll give him some fruit next time.
I really don't know why you want to bother.
Maybe some cheese, too.
Suit yourself.
Look, the idea was never to starve the poor fool. If that was the idea, I wouldn't give him anything at all.
He's beginning to starve himself.
Can he do that?
It's simple. Stay away from food and water. You'll be gone in a few days.
No kidding.
Animals know that.
Well, I never knew it.
There's lots of things animals know that men don't know. Especially you.
If I could cry. But there's a place beyond crying. Yes, there's a despair too deep for crying. Here, in the dark, in the silence, there's nobody. Not a creature is stirring, not even a mouse. I can't laugh either. I think my life is closing. What? Oh, you're back. You're back, are you? You're in the pocket of my shirt. Well, I have some cheese and part of a pear. You'll have to come to me if you want it. No, I can't look for you again. I just don't care anymore. I just don't care. I don't care anymore.
We all know it, but nobody says it. The drama of life is not in battles, or elections, or crimes, or even in love affairs. The drama of life takes place in the dark, silent soul of every man or woman who has had the luck or the misfortune to live. We'll be back shortly with Act Three.
There's nothing wrong with drinking Budweiser sip by sip, is there? Well, the brewers of Budweiser think there's a better way. Sipping's fine if you're drinking wine. But Bud is the king of beers, a hearty drink. Look, rinse a 10 or 12 ounce glass with cold water. Then open a can or bottle of Bud and pour it right down the middle so it kicks up a good head of foam. Now, take a big drink and then swallow big. No sips. That's how it should be done. More taste, more beer drinking enjoyment. Thanks to exclusive Beechwood aging, Budweiser has a smoothness that lets it go down especially easy. Sure, it's an expensive way to brew beer, but brewing beer right does make a difference. That's why, when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
If you read between the lines, I think that guy was just telling us the best way to drink Budweiser is to guzzle it.
That's right. Well, that's how I learned to do it in college, so, you know.
That's right. There's only one way.
Yeah, learn to drink coffee and beer in college and not necessarily in that order.
Yeah. One will definitely require the other. Make the other one necessary. The next day.
So, we've got this amazing tale going on. It was written by actress Elspeth Eric. She actually wrote 113 of these radio mystery theaters, acted in only 13 of them, but she wrote 116 she wrote, 13 she acted in. Actually, she was born in Chicago, Illinois, a good radio town, attended the Bradford Academy, and graduated Wesleyan College, a double major in economics and English literature. After hearing tales of woe about girls that had to try to crash the Great White Way and failed, she enrolled in a business school and left word for her friends in New York to let her know when a job would be had there. She gained acting experience in summer stock, moved to New York, where she worked at various jobs for 5 years while she tried to find work as an actor. During those years, she was a switchboard operator, a waitress, a governess, a hostess, and a cocktail lounge, a publicity writer, model, cook, parlor maid, social secretary to a social secretary, stenographer, and a book saleswoman. Finally broke her way into radio, did a lot of the soap operas. It started with Betty and Bob, Big Sister, Central City. She also was Nancy on The Falcon, Joyce Jordan, Girl Intern. She was Joyce Jordan in that. Lorenzo Jones was another one. Road to Life, another soap. The Second Mrs. Burton, another soap. Valiant Lady, another soap. And Young Dr. Malone, she was a part of that. Other programs she did get to appear on, the FBI in Peace and War, the Abbott Mysteries, Ever Since Eve, Front Page Feral, Quick as a Flash, Rosemary, Mommy and the Men. That one I'm not sure about.
Whoa.
Inner Sanctum Mystery.
That sounds
Mommy, Mommy and the Men. I have to look that one up. And actually, there's no footnotes on that one either. Inner Sanctum Mystery, Bulldog Drummond, Manhattan at Midnight, Green Valley, USA, Gangbusters, 21st Precinct, Grand Central Station, and Mr. District Attorney. She did a little bit of stage, not a great deal, a little bit of television, but she did certainly did enough to keep herself busy and on the forefront. And then, of course, when the 70s came around, what she did was writing with the Radio Mystery Theater. This is one of her tales.
Man, that's quite a good one. You can almost feel yourself going mad along with this guy.
Yeah, if you're paying close attention, that's exactly how you just might feel.
And might as well not keep everyone in suspense that much longer. We'll wrap it up here with the conclusion of The Black Room.
I just don't care anymore. These words were spoken by our nameless protagonist a few minutes ago, and I suppose they are the saddest words anyone can utter. I just don't care anymore. The struggle is over. Life is over when we just don't care anymore.
He hasn't eaten anything for 2 days.
Oh?
Last thing he ate was that pear. That was 2 days ago.
He's starting down the slide.
You sound as if you enjoy this.
I don't.
I think it's terrible, really terrible.
It's necessary.
I don't see why. I swear I don't.
We need the information, don't we?
But do we absolutely have to have it? I don't see why.
It's the most important information in the world.
I just think maybe it's not worth all this.
It's worth all this and more.
I don't know why.
Look, you're a good fellow. And you're not the stupidest man in the world, or you wouldn't be my deputy. But there are certain things that are, let's say, beyond your comprehension. You agree?
I guess so.
You guess so?
I'm sure. I'm sure there are certain things that are beyond my comprehension. Just the same.
Yes? What were you going to say?
How do I know they're not beyond your comprehension, too?
I hear you. Oh, I hear you, but I don't care. Even if I did care, I'm not sure I'm strong enough anymore to go looking for you. Now, there must be food all over the room. Why don't you go look for it? I'm sure the faithful Mr. K has been leaving it, and I haven't eaten any for a long time. So, stir yourself and go look for it. Huh? You want me to bring it to you? Well, that's rough. Those days are over, my friend. I loved you. Do you know that? I really did. I thought you loved me in your own little mousy way, but you didn't. I was just somebody to feed you. That's all. Well, our friendship has come to an end, Mr. Mouse. As all things come to an end.
He isn't drinking any water either.
That's too bad.
You feeling sorry for him by any chance?
Now, don't start up with me, Kay.
It's not like you to go soft.
I'm not going soft. It's just that...
Yes? What?
I don't know why exactly, but I had such high hopes for him. That he'd be different somehow. I really had very high hopes for that man. Well, maybe one day I'll learn. Nobody survives the Black Room. Absolutely nobody.
All right. All right, one more time. One last time I'll look for you. I'll bring you the cheese and the pear. My legacy to you, Mr. Mouse. My last salute, Mr. Mouse. Morituri te salutamos. Well, why wouldn't you come to me? You used to come to me. Why did you stop? You knew I needed you, that's why. I needed you more than you needed me. And when that happens, after all, you had a way out of the Black Room and I didn't. Where is that little hole of yours, Mr. Mouse? I found it. Where is that? I'd like to see the light once more before the darkness closes in. Where is the little mouse hole? Is this it? Is it? Yes. Yes. Oh, I'm much too weak. I can't get my eye to it. I forgot how hard it was. I can't. Oh. There it is. The beautiful light. That little sliver of light. A lovely light. Yes, I'm a little stronger now. I'll find you. Just keep talking, Mr. Mouse. I'll find you. I think I'm nearer. Just keep talking and I'll find you. You sound very loud. I must be close. Or is it because my hearing has become sharper? Does that happen? Does the hearing become sharper when there's nothing to hear? Ah, yes, you're very near now, very near.
I think I can reach out and touch you. Ah, no! No! Oh, no, 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 that didn't happen. I won't believe it. It happened. I won't believe that I reached out my hand and you bit me. I won't believe that. Not that, no. Oh. But it's true. Yes, it's true. There's no end to it. There's no end, no end to the shocks and the suffering and the cruelty and the horror. No end to it. When you think you've borne it all, there's more and more and more.
How is he?
Not eating, not drinking, nothing.
Too bad.
I think it's time to go in.
You think he's alive?
I don't know. He could be, I guess.
Okay. Go on in.
I hate this part.
Oh, Mr. K.
Yes?
If he should be alive, by some chance, and if he should be even remotely in his right mind...
Oh, I doubt that, Mr. Z.
I know, but if he should be, take him upstairs and let him take a shower. Let him shave, give him some clean clothes, and bring him down here to me.
That's it. If he's alive and in his right mind.
Well, there's always a chance.
Why did you bite me? I meant you no harm. Why should you turn on me? Explain that to me. I need to know this one thing before I die. Here, look. Here's what I brought you. See? Three little pieces of cheese. And I'll put them down right here. You know what? Do you know what? I could kill you if I wanted to, but I don't want to. Now, for a little while, you kept me from going mad. And for that, I'm grateful. Yes. So, go on. Go on, bite me if you want to. I won't mind. Go ahead. You're not saying anything, Mr. Mouse. Are you still here? Or did you run away? Did you run to your mouse hole? Did you run through to the other side to live in the light, in the beautiful light? Or are you still here? Why don't you say something? What's this? Is that you? Is this your little furry body? Huh? Yes. Wait, no. No. What is that? Oh. Oh, no. Oh, that can't be. One, two, three, four. Why? Why, you're not Mr. Mouse at all. You're Mrs. Mouse. You're Mother Mouse. Five baby. Five? How many? Oh. Yes, you were afraid I might hurt them. That's why you bit my hand. Yes, I understand. But now you trust me. Now you know. Oh, Mother Mouse. My beautiful little Mother Mouse. My dear friend. Do you know I'm crying again? And my tears are falling on you and on your children. What?
I came to get you.
What?
Come on. You can see your way to the door, can't you?
Yes.
Well, come on. Nothing like a shave and a shower, am I right? I think you've lost a little weight, a few pounds. Oh, here. I brought you some clean socks. I hope they're the right size, I have to guess. You care to weigh yourself? There's some scales over there.
Oh, thank you.
The rations were pretty thin, I know that. Now, how did you like the fruit?
What?
The fruit I left for you. And the cheese. Did you like it?
Very much.
I thought you would. Hey, don't put that shirt back on. I brought you a clean one. Here. I think it'll fit.
Thank you.
Now, give me your old one and I'll throw it out.
Don't touch that shirt.
Huh?
Keep your hands off that shirt.
You want to save it. It's pretty dirty.
I want to save it.
I'll wash it for you.
No, leave it alone.
You want it the way it is?
Just the way it is.
If you say so. Well, you ready?
Yes.
Let's go visit Mr. Z. He's dying to talk to you.
You look rather well. Surprisingly well. Please, sit down. I'm glad to see you.
Are you really?
Yes, really. Very glad. You've no idea how glad. It's been, let's see, 26 days. That's remarkable. Truly remarkable. Tell me something, if you can. How did you do it? How does a man survive 26 days in the black room? Can you tell me? I really want to know. What does a man need to have to come out of there intact?
He needs to care for some living soul.
That's all he needs?
He needs to care a lot.
That's all? Just that?
That and a little light.
You're very tired, aren't you?
Yes.
It's been quite an ordeal.
Oh, yes.
We'd like to give you a complete physical examination before you go, if you don't mind.
I can go?
Also a psychiatric testing.
And then I can go?
One other thing.
Oh. And what's that?
After we've completed the examinations, would you be so kind, sir, as to address a few words to the membership? Not a long speech. We wouldn't expect that. But if you'd expand a little on what you've told me here.
Now, wait a moment. What membership?
Don't you know?
Well, how am I supposed to know?
I thought you'd guess.
Is this a club? Some kind of a cult?
Not precisely a club. Certainly not a cult.
Well, then what is it? Who are the members?
People in trouble. Troubled people.
But that's practically everybody.
Quite so. Yes. Will you talk to them, sir? They'd be ever so grateful. Then you can go home.
Where do you live? Main Street? Lakeshore Drive? Mulberry Lane? Park Place? Lenox Avenue? Corner of 4th and Walnut? 3 miles out on Route 7? Come now. You know better than that. You may hang your hat anywhere at all, but you live in the black room of your own mind. I'll be back shortly.
A variety of assistance is available to the blind. Rehabilitation and library services can be had in every part of the nation. Cash payments for the needy and training in skills and techniques. You can help. For information, contact your local affiliate of the National Federation of the Blind or write me, Kenneth Jernigan, President, National Federation of the Blind, 218 Randolph Hotel Building, Des Moines, Iowa, 50309.
Has our little story depressed you? Made you unhappy? I hope not. And if it has, I'm sorry. I'd like to leave you with a piece of gentle advice. As long as you must live in the black room at the center of yourself, get to know it. Know it well. It will frighten you, yes, but it will reward you, too, in ways you would hardly believe. Our cast included Larry Haynes, George Petrie, and Peter Collins. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Now, a preview of our next tale.
What is the whole contract?
That while a person owns this dark imp in the bottle, any request that concerns money, gold, or wealth, no matter how unreasonable, will be satisfied. And that, to dispose of this creature and its spell, you must sell it for less and your original price.
Oh, here. $7.40.
$5 is enough.
Okay. Cheap at nearly half the price.
Oh, think first, Barry, think. Remember, it will keep you rich as long as you live. But remember, too, if you do not sell it for less than you paid for it before you die, your soul will surely rot in hell for eternity.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Wonderful story. And I tell you what, that story that they gave a preview to, that was every bit as ghastly and ghostly as what this one was. So, more great stories to come.
And just in case we terrified you with our last tale, it's time for a little levity or a moral. Eerie House Radio proudly presents a garrulous moral of the story.
Okay. Apologies to Gar. There we go. The lesson learned here is that there's something a whole lot better than standing on your head looking into a mouse hole to get a peek at the light. It's called a nightlight. That's it. Okay. That'll do it. Hey, there's one thing more on this particular night I wanted to share here, Dale. Of course, as it was broadcast, of course, we usually do about a 45-minute broadcast of the Mystery Theater, taking out all the commercials, but here, and Gar's alluded to many times, they have the news and they have the commercials and all, which is a lot of fun. And this one had the commercials. I left one in between each segment. How I listened to this when I was a mere lad of 14 and 15 and 16 as they were on, I would listen to it on WAKR radio. And at the top of the hour, the CBS News would come on for 5 minutes. Then they would go to the CBS Radio Mystery Theater, would run a total of 55 minutes with commercials included. Then at the top of the hour, it would start with the news again. And then after the CBS News in Akron, Ohio, we'd have 25 minutes of local news, including people who actually reported from council meetings, from school board meetings and things like that. An entire 25 minutes of local news in the evening there. Now, that being said, of course, we did not hear the one before, but after this broadcast, they had left on the news broadcast from October 29th, 1974, and I thought it would be cool to share it right here. October 29th, 1974.
Let's go back in time and listen to the news.
CBS News. Former President Nixon is listed in critical condition in a California hospital. I'm Jim Kilpatrick reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Mr. Nixon underwent surgery early this morning for the insertion of a plastic clip to block the troublesome further movement of a blood clot. Doctors described the operation as a success and earlier said Mr. Nixon was in good condition. However, some 6 hours after the surgery, complications developed. Harold Dow has details from the latest medical bulletin.
At 12:45 this afternoon, former President Richard Nixon suddenly went into vascular shock. A team of physicians and intensive care nurses administered counter-shock measures for 3 hours until a stable vascular condition was once again restored. According to the bulletin, the cause of this serious complication was in all probability due to some bleeding behind the stomach wall lining. The medical report goes on to say that replacement of blood loss and relaxation of anticoagulant therapy was instituted at 5 p.m. this evening. The vascular stability is still being maintained. He remains in intensive care and is still in critical condition. Harold Dow, CBS News, Los Angeles.
A hospital spokesman is meeting now with Nixon aides and is expected to make additional statements after the meeting. Hospital authorities delayed releasing the information on Mr. Nixon's worsening condition for almost 6 hours. The Associated Press science editor says the medical shock that put former President Nixon in critical condition tonight means a collapse of blood circulation. Small arteries lose the ability to push freshened blood to all parts of the body. Treatment of Mr. Nixon's kind of shock usually involves giving massive blood transfusions. One physician told the Associated Press Mr. Nixon was particularly susceptible to excessive bleeding because he has been given anticoagulant drugs to prevent formation of new clots and dissolve old ones. Muhammad Ali has regained the World Heavyweight Boxing Championship by knocking out George Herman in the 8th round of their title fight in Zaire. More CBS News after this.
I'm Art Linkletter. I believe in close family ties. You know, one way to make it happen is for the whole family to play games together, particularly Milton Bradley games. You know, I've been working with Milton Bradley for over 15 years, so I know they make games the whole family can enjoy. Like Memory, the game that tests your memory skills by locating and matching cards. And then there's Password, the fascinating word association game. And Concentration, which requires a lot of concentration to match numbered slides. Both Password and Concentration are based on famous TV shows, and both are now out in brand new editions. Games that teach, games that have exciting play value. They're the kind Milton Bradley has always made. That's why I so wholeheartedly recommend Memory, Password, and Concentration for your family. And all the other fine Milton Bradley games. They'll give many, many hours of enjoyment. And maybe even help bring the family a little closer together.
President Ford returns to Washington within the hour. He spent the day campaigning in his hometown of Grand Rapids, Michigan, where he learned of former President Nixon's condition. Robert Pierpoint reports.
After enjoying a rousing welcome back to his hometown and delivering a hard-hitting political speech on behalf of Republicans here, President Ford was given the bad news about the critical condition of Richard Nixon. The president then issued a brief statement declaring, "I am deeply concerned about the former president's health, and I pray for his complete recovery." Earlier, the president and Mrs. Ford had sent flowers to the hospital in Long Beach, California, where Mr. Nixon is being treated. Asked if President Ford plans to change his plans for a campaign trip to California this coming Thursday in view of the illness of his predecessor, a White House aide said that he knew nothing of any such changes. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News, with the presidential party in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Queen Elizabeth told the British Parliament today the Labour government plans to nationalise key industries, including aviation and oil, in a socialist bid to revive Britain's economy. The Queen's address, written for her by Prime Minister Wilson's cabinet, said a national enterprise board will be proposed to direct the resurrection and reorganisation of British industries. More after this.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love, but give your cold to contact, the sooner the better.
A common cold is a rotten thing. You miss so much. Sneezing, drips, and congestion can drag you down. Then ask yourself the contact question. 6 or 3 or 1? You'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of Cold's liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact for up to 12 hours continuous relief of those symptoms. That's daytime, then nighttime relief. Both the others have things for aches and fever, and the liquid, something for coughs. Not found in Contact 600 Tiny Time Pills.
Give your code to Contact.
60301. Take Contact. Only as directed.
Recapping the top sports news, Muhammad Ali rated a heavy underdog, knocked out champion George Foreman with a right to the head in the eighth round tonight to win the World Heavyweight Championship in a stunning upset. The 32-year-old Ali became only the second boxer in history to regain the heavyweight title. The victory comes 14 years to the day he began a pro boxing career. Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
Wow. So Muhammad Ali beat up Pee Wee Herman's dad.
Yeah, you know, it didn't make sense. I did not remember George Herman fighting at that time, and that's why they repeated the saying that was actually George Foreman he beat, not George Herman. Somebody must have told him. Somebody must have told him. Somebody must have told him he said Herman. Oh my.
Oh, and they were so young back then, and, you know, it's kind of a shame what happened to Ali afterwards after a tremendous, tremendous boxing career.
Well,
God, we saw a lot of history, didn't we?
We did. Unfortunately, yeah. the stuff that we studied in school, the kids don't even study anymore because it's way too old. They're studying the stuff that we lived.
They are.
We're studying the stuff that we live.
We think.
That's why I really got upset when 9/11 happened here in Akron. Came down from the superintendent's office. The teachers were not allowed to talk about or discuss it in any way, shape, or form. Now, these kids were living in this historic time, and the teachers were not allowed to talk about this. There's insanity in here. They were living history that they could tell their kids, but they couldn't. I mean, they could. I was in, you know, news information, and so I was able to talk to my kids about it. But their school was, the teachers and principals were not allowed to talk about it for fear it would scare them too much.
Stupid. Overkill. They overthink stuff, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, stupid. Oh. Stupid.
I'm going to have to agree with you on that one. Not good. Yeah, you can't hide stuff from kids. You can only guide them through it. That's my motto.
Yeah.
That's my
absolutely. And then when you turn your head, they'll do whatever they want anyway. But you know, at least you try.
Yeah,
right?
But at least your conscience can go clean if you get the old college try.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. I tried. Now all that happens, my kid says day after day.
Take me aside to Jackson food.
And,
there you go.
No. Kid's almost 30 and he's never touched a beer. Jeez.
Wow. Is he your son?
Yeah, I don't. I'm going to hunt down the mailman, I'll tell you. Give him what for?
That mailman was busy. My oldest son's IQ is so unbelievably high, I think, that I really don't know what the IQ of my mailman was. but he did not inherit that from me or his mother. So,
wow. especially.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Warning.
Uh-oh.
It's the wife. Warning.
All right, better not let that whole thing play out there. That's about 20 seconds too much of that. So Fogsbane commented in the chat how much he's enjoying these, as he put it, oral treats, and that they are. We've got some more for you.
Yeah.
Thing is, we have so much, we don't know where to go. How about a little more music?
How about a little more music? Hey, let's do it this way. Let's bring in a little bit more music, and then that'll give them time to call in to see if somebody wants to spin that wheel of radio.
That number is 646-378-0264. If you'd like to spin the wheel and select something for our show.
And one of the music that you've asked for so much is Boogie Woogie.
Of course, as you asked us to, we got the king. We got Count Basie. So here's Count Basie playing his own boogie blues. Go ahead. Thank you, folks. I want to just tell you one thing before I go any further. You know, I'm familiar with all the big musicians. I remember I used to talk about this other big musician, and I used to call him Wagner. And everybody told me it was pronounced Wagner. Just like now, all of you know the Count. You know him. You know it's Count Basie. Everybody calls, but I don't. I call him Count Basie. And I don't know whether you noticed that or not.
I certainly noticed, and I resent it.
Well, it was good old Bob Bazooka Burns. Well, what can you say about those guys from Arkansas, you know?
I know. Don't run for office? I don't know.
I can bring you to your knees. Yeah.
Oh, my.
Oh.
Especially if you're not wearing blue.
Oh, my. No.
Six, yeah, 6-4-6-3-7-8-0-2-6-4, the number to dial if you'd like to spin the wheel of radio.
Sorry about that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
you started it.
Monster sex and rock and roll.
Yeah, baby. I've lost my mind. It's nice hearing Count Basie. I commented in the chat myself. I could listen to that stuff all day long.
Yeah, well, you know, we've been adding more and more of it to the Erie House, and it's been fun. It's been fun.
It has.
So, yeah.
Whether thumbs are up or down, it's been fun.
Yes. there's a first time for everything, Foggs. Yes, we've got thumbs down, and there's a first time for everything. Yeah.
There's only up from here. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, right. You know what? We won't go back here. Yeah. All right. Well, it looks like you're going to have to spin the dial this time then, Dale. It's your turn.
Spin it, I shall.
Around, around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Tonight we're broadcasting transcribed from San Francisco. And now, here are Spike Jones and the City Slickers. Bars were just awful.
Gee whiz, Mr. Jones. Don't be angry with us. We like you. All the boys in the band chipped in and bought you a present for Father's Day.
Present for Father's Day? What is it?
This.
Doll. Ray. Me.
Gee, just what I always wanted. A musician who can read music.
Charlie, my boy, oh, Charlie, my boy. You thrill 'em, you chill 'em with shivers of joy. You've got that kind of sort of bit of a way that makes 'em, takes 'em, tell me what can they say. And when you dance, they read in your glance whole pages and ages of love and romance. Tell me Romeo was some lover too, but boy, he should have taken lessons from you. You seem to start where others get through. Oh, Charlie, my boy.
Oh, those bells and whistles is kind of like Gar on a big pot of Colombian roast dark coffee, you know?
Yes, he is. And our best to Gar, he hopes he gets over. He's got a really bad case of the sniffles, actually worse than that. But we know that he's chomping at the bit to get back again. Hopefully, he'll be back with us next Friday when we will have what happening here on Erie House, Dale?
I have no idea. No, that's because I'm not an elephant. And an elephant never forgets.
Okay,
that's
I'll tell
right.
you. go ahead.
No, we got Sherlock Holmes with The Vanishing Elephant, The Whistler, Chinese Elephant Puzzle, and The World Adventurers Club, The Elephant's Graveyard. That's just Friday! It just occurred to me that Saturday is the return of CBS Radio Mystery Theater with Appointment in Uganda.
Yes, and that's another story written by the person who wrote tonight's story, Elspeth Eric, in that particular story. And next Friday, it is Basil Rathbone who returns with us as Sherlock Holmes.
Yep. And we want to thank everybody who stopped by to listen in tonight. Don't forget to join us next weekend, Friday at 8:30 Eastern. Say goodbye, Dave.
Yep. Goodbye, Dave. And good night, Jimmy.
The castle lights are growing dim.
His name is Jimmy,
There's
too.
No one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone. Don't come alone.
Oh, goodness.
What?
Never a dull moment. Never a dull moment. Bye, folks.
Oh, forgot where I was.
Yeah, it's all right. Vince's middle name is Jimmy, I think.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it is. Right.
Come on, let me cover for you. They'll never know. They'll never know.
No, as long as you don't cover me with a plastic bag, we're okay.
Yeah, or 6 feet of dirt.
So even though you cheated at least to get the synopsis of the show...
I had no idea. Depth of the terror that guy felt, and as he was questioning himself, I questioned it myself as a listener, too. Would I go mad in an environment like that? I think I would. I mean, I think I'd last a little while if I had some stimuli, be it music or a laptop or something, you know what I mean? A book.
Yeah.
If one book would be more maddening because you'd read it and it's like, God, there's nothing else. I can't read it again. It's too soon.
Yeah. The thing that saved him was basically becoming best friends with a itty-bitty mouse.
Mr. Jingles.
Yeah.
Oops,
there
different
you
movie. different prison mouse. No, and I don't know why that's a recurring theme. Like in prison movies, you've got the Birdman of Alcatraz and, of course, Shawshank Redemption, where the Cajun fella had the mouse friend. The Green Mile, rather, where the Cajun fella had the mouse friend. And I certainly would, hell, I'd make friends with the spiders and stuff. Here, I'll get you a fly. I'm not Renfield. I won't eat you. I promise.
Yeah, it would have to be. Well, you know, why is that? That's probably because that's the only thing that's kind of available to them. You know,
yeah.
Whatever comes by that they can grab. But, so it's. I always thought it was an interesting story, and most of the comments on it are pretty good. Some people calling it one of their top five favorite stories. Another person said really doesn't like a lot of Eric stories, but they really enjoyed this one. So if I have to schlock through six lousy ones to get to a good one, he'll do it, because he used to avoid her stories like the plague. But you know, and that was the thing about listening to it when it was on. It was on at a certain time. If you didn't catch it, you missed it, and you didn't get a choice which one you got to hear. You got what they gave you that night. And,
yeah.
That's the advantage we have here, to be able to share the ones we want to share. But it's just
which is all of them.
It was enough. Yeah, which is an amazing time. You know, it's just. So many cool things that we have to share. Even from that era, I need to get into more of the zero hours, especially the first year. And I don't know how we have to do it over a couple of days, because
we'll work them in. We could always team up just a 0 hour night or something like that, or a salute to Rod Serling or something. Who knows? We'll figure something out,
yeah,
folks.
In the first season, they were five parts that told one story. That was a pretty in-depth story. They were novels or novellas. And so that was maybe the first network, because I think it was on Mutual, the first network radio drama that was probably broadcast in stereo. The reason I didn't hear it when it was on, and you probably didn't, nobody picked up here, but it had to be on FM stations.
Ah.
Because, you know, and I really wasn't listening to FM then. So.
Yep.
I did tune into MMS for the Archie Rothman's Time Machine on Sunday nights. I always loved that show.
Good stuff. I'm I'm just learning so much here. You know, like, of course, there's the classic Golden Age era stuff from the 30s, 40s, 50s that we hear, have heard, and have played here. But it's nice to get into some newer shows, like the shows from Australia you found, Dave, for the Halls of Fantasy, CBS Radio Mystery Theater, the 70s, 60s, 70s stuff, which maybe we could look at as the Silver Age of radio, perhaps.
Yeah, and it is difficult to, I mean, let's face it, basically, Hyman Brown would not have been able to do if he didn't have these amazing grants from the House of La Rose, you know, which is your Budweiser beers and such like that. Because about what I'm thinking, it's about 7-8 years after. No, it was later than that. They came back out again in syndication. And they were out for about half a year, and Hyman Brown pulled them. He changed the intros and pulled E.G. Marshall from them, and it may have been because of a rights-type thing. Even though he had rights to the stories, there's been no explanation other than what I could think that could be it. And after half a year, he pulled the plug on it because he literally was losing money because he was paying royalties to all the actors that had been in the shows. So whatever money he was making from it, he basically was at best breaking even. And so even though they were rebroadcast the things he'd already done, he was losing money on it. So people that do it today, like Joe Bev and like the Atlanta group and like the Shoestring Radio Theater people, they do it for the love of the craft, not because it's ever going to bring them any money.
Very much like horror hosts.
Exactly like horror hosts. You know what? In general, when horror hosts were on, they did it because they were contracted to the station. Said, you got to do this. They said, well, okay. And then when that was over, they said, well, okay, well, now you can sweep out the men's room or something. But, Ernie had his team under contract. He had a choice of doing it or quitting, essentially. So that's how he ended up being essentially Gilardi. And that's the way it was back then. Very few people did it for longevity or for by love of it. And just think of, you know, even now, not the original Svengoolie, but the one that's on now. It wasn't until the advent of MeTV that basically he was a little local TV horror host. With the advent of his station is the one that created the MeTV. And they gave him a ride on Saturday nights, and now he's seen and known nationwide.
Yeah.
The only other one I know that ever went stationwide, nationwide, might have been Elvira.
Yes.
Others are known around the country, but she may have been the only other one that played nationwide.
Some folks might argue, like, who was hosting on USA? You had a couple there that.
You're
Joe
right. Commander,
Bob Thornton, maybe.
Oh, Joe Bob Thornton and then Commander. But Joe Bob Thornton wasn't really a horror host. Commander
Not
USA
really.
Kind of was.
Yeah.
Rhonda could have been considered for Rhonda for Up All Night, but hers wasn't just movies.
No. I mean, they're like close to the genre. I believe they've been inducted in the Horror Host Hall of Fame. I don't know.
Also, that was also cable, and that was whether your cable system, whether you had cable, and whether your cable system had USA network or not. The same thing could also be said to the guy that was the Phantom of the Opry. He was on the Nashville network, and I tuned into some of his. I thought he was an amazing character. You gave me his name once, but I forget what it was. But yeah, it was just an amazing, interesting program with that. Another one would have been Al Lewis when he played Grandpa on WTBS. But again, that depended on whether you had the cable and whether your cable had that channel.
Well, the same could be said for like Svengoolie. I don't have MeTV. I have like the most basic cable package imaginable. I spend
antenna,
more time on Roku anymore.
Stick your antenna out there because it's there locally here in Cleveland, just through the on an antenna. I have it. I don't have cable at all, and I can watch them every Saturday night.
Oh, I'll be darned. I'll have to check it out. I haven't hooked up an antenna in quite some time. It's so a little challenging out here in the docks. I remember the last time I tried it, it did not go well. Very, very fuzzy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Got stuff. You got a lot of stuff, actually. But most of it was fuzzy out here in the land of the
toothless. I got a big, expensive $20 one up at the Micro Center. Electrified and powered, and it kind of looks like a one of them old Flash Gordon ray gun type things. So it's kind of cool. I put it up in my attic now. I had it in my office for the longest time, but when I put it up in my attic, I was able to get Channel 8, which I couldn't do before. So.
Yeah. I didn't mention this yesterday, but my cat, Mighty Joe Young,
yes,
was described perfectly in yesterday's story, narrated and starring Peter Lorre. Because he's black and he has a white patch on his chest.
Dale, you can't say Peter Lorre. What must you say?
Peter Lorre.
There you go. Thank you.
Or just Pete.
Well, you were closer to him than I was. What can I say?
Yeah, well, you know, we hung out. But no, his description of Pluto, the black cat, it looks, except for the missing ear, he's got all of his earpieces together. But he's black with a little white patch on his chest, just like Pluto, the wonder cat of last night's tale.
Yep, yep.
And he's punching me now. He wants attention.
You know, okay, and he's getting it. There you go.
Yes, I guess he is. So we'll wrap things up and see you next time.
Yep, and since I messed up the other one, let's mess up the two. Say goodnight, Vincent.
Good night. Good night. Good night. It's time to say good night. Good night. Good night. What more is this say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the day, and ink-a-tink-a-doo. Good night. Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.